Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on 2 Samuel. We're in chapter 11, looking at the life of David. And this is an episode which most of us will be very familiar with, but I want us just to take our time a little bit and just think about it and examine it. It is not a highlight of David's life, no doubt. We looked at the first three verses. So let me start at verse 1 again, read those, and then we'll press on. It says this: "Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem." So that's the first verse. And so as we've said previously, something's going on here. It was springtime, and this is when the weather allows and the topography allows for there to be war, for battle. So it's the time of the year when the kings go to battle. I mean, it literally says that. David sent his armies out, but David stayed at Jerusalem. And much has been said over the fact that David wasn't where he's supposed to be. And you know, well, yeah, perhaps. Generally speaking, a king is supposed to be wherever the king wants to be. Okay, the king is king, right? But David stayed at Jerusalem. He's feeling really comfortable. He's feeling like, okay, I can send these guys off. No harm would come to me. I'm going to stay home. Verse 2. "Now, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house." So he wakes up from an afternoon nap. Literally, that's what's going on here. Here it says bed. Other translations say from his couch. Okay, so he's taking a nap. He gets up. He's walking around top. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. Not just beautiful, but very beautiful in appearance. Verse 3. "So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?'" So in the previous episode, I talked about how David knew who the husband was. We'll see later that Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. Okay, David knew him. He knew who he was. He might not have known who his wife was. That would not have been unusual. But he knew who he was. And notice that David sent and inquired, because this is what kings can do. They can sit there and say, "Hey, find out who this person is." Now, why do I make a big deal over that? It's because David is about to find himself in a situation right here. He's the king. He can send a messenger and find out who the woman is. He also can do what he's about to do in verse 4. Listen to this. "David sent messengers, plural, and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house." He sent messengers for her, summoned her, brought her. There was no cute little agenda with this or that. The messengers would have known what this is all about. Bathsheba definitely, by the time she got there, knew what this was all about. Could she put up a fight? Could she resist? Could she have done this and that? Maybe. Probably not. If the king wanted something, the king got something. Okay? And so I don't think that she would have been under threat of duress of losing her life because it's David. Okay? But look what he's doing. He just took her. That's what the king can do. He took her. And other people knew. The servants always know, right? So verse 5, let's see what happens. "The woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, 'I am pregnant.'" Well, that sort of, that cuts to the chase, doesn't it? So we know a period of time has passed here. Some things are going on. Well, what is David going to do? That's the rest of the story. Verse 6. "Then David sent to Joab," remember he's the leader of the armies, "saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' So Joab sent Uriah to David." So David sends information, sends a request to Joab and says, "Hey, send me Uriah." When Uriah came to David, David asked concerning the welfare of Joab and the people and the state of war. So he asked for the welfare of the leader of the army, the welfare of the people, and what's the latest with the war? And so he asked for Uriah, and he's getting information from Uriah, and apparently none of this seemed totally out of place or unusual. Verse 8, then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out of the king's house, and a present from the king was sent out after him. Huh. So what's going on? Well, the next verse, I think, might give us a little insight. But, there's that word, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. So what's going on here? What's David up to? Well, you probably already suspect, you likely know the account. We're going to see even more directly in just a moment. But David was up to something. He tells him, go down to your house and wash your feet. Yeah, wash your feet from your long journey. Yeah, clean yourself up. Make yourself at home. Do all the stuff that you would do when you've been off at war forever and haven't seen your beautiful wife in a long time. Yeah, wash your feet. It's a bit of a euphemism right there, I suspect, okay? But Uriah didn't do it. He slept at the door of the king's house. He slept with the servants of the king. He didn't go down his house. Well, verse 10 says this. Now, when they told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to his house, David said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? Well, why was David so concerned about Uriah going down to his house? Verse 11. Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? By your life and the life of your soul, I will not do this thing. Well, this is the very thing that David wanted him to do. Why did David want him to do it? Do I really have to explain it? David needed some plausible deniability right here. He needed to be able to say, oh, that child is Uriah's child. Remember when he came home that weekend from the battle? He wanted to be able to point the finger. Uriah was far more righteous in this incident. You know, he's just sitting there as an innocent man. Okay, as an innocent man, but he's doing the right thing in his eyes. Would it have been wrong for him to go home and do this? No, that would not have been a sin. There was nothing wrong with that. But he's sitting there saying, hey, my leaders, the ark, the very presence of God, and Israel and Judah, they're staying in temporary shelters. Joab and all the servants, they're camping in the open field. How can I go home and enjoy food and drink and lie with my wife? He says, I'm not going to do it. He says, King, by the life of your soul, I'm not going to do this thing. Well, as we're going to see in the next episode, David is not going to let up easy on it. But you really have to respect Uriah, and you really have to sit there and go, really now, David? Really? What are you up against? You're the king right here. If you wanted to, you could flat out take his wife and just say, sorry, dude. What are you trying to do, David? Well, we'll examine it more in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.